And we're away. Today is Friday, November 3rd, 2017. My name is Kirby Fenwick, and I'm joined today by Yvette Roby. We'll be discussing the first game of the inaugural AFLW season, played between Carlton and Collingwood, played on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Thank you for being a part of this project.
You're welcome.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Can you tell me what role football has played in your life?
Well, you can read my book. It's full of what football is in my life. Siren's Call, just a plug. It's been around ever since I was a little kid, and from 12 I became obsessed with it as a supporter of the St Kilda Football Club. So it's always been, even though it was about a five-year period, I was very intensely involved. It was in the background until I divorced in 2000, and then I got engaged again and started going back to St Kilda. So it became, you know, it's always been there, but intense in a couple of particular periods.
What is it about footy that you like or love?
It was something to do with my family or a friend. It was... I don't think there's any other game like it where it's intense, it's combative, it's, you feel like you're part of it, even though you're not. Being a supporter made me feel very part of something bigger than myself.
And what about women's football? Had you had much to do with women's football prior to the AFLW?
Well, prior to the AFLW, in 2013, I started going to the Doggies Melbourne women's matches. Fell in love, loved it, loved watching it. And when I was writing my own book in 2015, I thought to myself, I need to go and find my local women's club. I want to go see what they're doing. And I Googled it, and I saw the St Kilda Sharks, and I took myself to two games. I talked to the players while I were waiting, who ended up now being a lot of the superstars that are in the game. I got to know Anne Rolton and Lisa Cato, who were welcoming and lovely, and just loved it. I love the atmosphere. I love the feeling amongst the girls. I liked when I was chatting to the girls, how funny they were with each other and happy to chat with me. I ended up talking to Brittany Benici's grandparents and parents and father, and was there when she got injured at the end, towards the end of a game. But she saved the ball going out of their forward line, and they actually won that game and got into the final. So I'd sort of felt that those few moments connected me to Brittany. I just felt really attached. Her family were lovely. Her story, again, is in my story. But just getting to know this club and the people within it, how can you not love it? I fell in love. And I think the other thing, it just... I went back in 2013, sort of skipping backwards again, and I painted two photos of women flying and playing football. So they're originally going to be men playing, and I got rid of the men and I painted the women, and it obviously got me on a very fundamental level watching girls, watching people like me running up. As Anne Rolton said to me, oh my God, I wouldn't do that, they're nuts, but... And I wouldn't do that because I'm a coward, but to watch girls go out there and have fun and do the thing that I have loved watching boys do just profoundly affected me.
You're not the only one.
Well, no, but...
Can you tell me how you felt when the AFLW competition was announced in 2016?
When it was announced, I was so excited and almost immediately went to John Harms from the Footy Almanac website and books, and I said, we have to cover this. And that man had no spare time but said yes. He thought, I think he could see, like I could see, that this was going to be something pretty special. So I was very excited, but I also got organised, and that's when we thought, if we're going to do it, I'm not an editor, I'm a writer, I'm a mad writer, but I'm not an editor, that I would have to, I would be the executive producer and I would get, or executive editor, and I'd be the one to go out and gather people in. So I gathered in the writers, I gathered in funding, money. sorry. Yes, I brought in money. I channeled Susan Alberti and thought, what would Susan do? How would she go about getting people in, which is just to hit up people you know, which is what I did. I hit up people I knew, and people were really gracious and jumped on board, and then other people jumped on board. So to say I was excited is an understatement, because I actually then, not only was I getting my own book published at that moment and doing the final editing on my book, I was also now gathering for another whole project and gathering people together, which is my forte. I seem to gather people together and then we get something done. So that's how excited I was, that I wanted to record it. I thought it was going to be an unbelievable event, and I was right.
You were. Well, let's go to the lead up to that first game, Carlton and Collingwood on the Friday night, first Friday in February. When did you decide to go to the game?
The moment it was announced, I was going to go. I wasn't going to miss out on being there. And I was going to go with Lisa and Anne. And my sister Denise was coming, my friend Lynn, who I'd met that year and gotten her involved in almanac writing, even though she's a Collingwood supporter and I'm a St Kilda person, you know, we're good friends. So there was a group of us going. And when they announced it and they showed the schedule, it was going to be at, what is the place called from, anyway, it was going to be at the Collingwood Basic Practice Ground. I didn't understand what that meant until I went with my sister to the last practice match between the Doggies and Collingwood. And I had a look at that ground and I thought, well, where are they going to fit all the people in? And at that stage, everybody I knew, everyone I was talking to, was going to go. And people were talking at the Almanac. We were going in a collection of five. There were all the women's clubs, the VFL. And I kept thinking, they're not going to fit them in there. What are they doing? They're not going to... John quotes now, when he talks about the Women's Footy Almanac that we did, he says Yvette was so concerned that... And I did. I rang up the AFL twice. I said, who's responsible for the women's game? They'd put me through, and neither times the chap was there, and I left two messages saying, I'm really freaking out here. Everybody I know is going. I've seen what that ground, and what really freaked me out when they talked about putting a fence around the Collingwood area, which is basically only letting 5,000 people in. And I was thinking, well, what time would I have to get there to get seats for Anne, who's not as able walking and standing as everybody else? And I was going to get there earlier than everybody else, so how was I going to do it? So I rang them twice, and I was very concerned, and I said, everybody I know is going. This is going to be really big. Can you advise me what to do? Because how early am I going to have to get to Collingwood if that's where it's going to be? This is really freaking me out. You have to let me know. And then they obviously changed the venue, so it became less stressful, and I thought, okay, this we can do. I later, at an Almanac function, met the guy that was in charge of that, and he remembers my two frantic phone calls, and he said by the time that I'd rung the second time, they'd already decided to change the venue, so he thought I'd see that and then I'd not worry, and that was okay. I still got there before opening on that round between Collingwood and Carlton. And I was there hours before. So there were probably about 50 people in front of me. So I wasn't the only crazy one that got there early. There were, and everybody was in such a good mood. And I don't even think I was at the main. I came up on the tram up the Royal Parade one. But there were people streaming from everything. I got a tram in. I didn't even think about a car. My sister lived in Park Street opposite the Royal Park Golf Course, and she was just going to come later. I wanted to get there early. I wanted to get the seats to save for the five or six people who were coming in my grouping. Another almanacker told me she was coming and wanted to be with us, so that's what I did. I just queued up early, chatted to all the people around me, and until they opened the door, and then I went to find a place in the shade, a place on the ground so no one would have to climb upstairs, And that's what I did. And then I waited. And then I thought, I must be an idiot. There's not going to be that many people here. I got here really early. But I had my seats. And this is what I did when I was a kid at the football. We'd be queuing up at Moorabbin before the gates opened. We'd go so we'd sit on the fence and wave our floggers. I was 12 years old. So it was a similar sort of behaviour that I wanted to be there early. I much prefer to be there early than at any other time. So that's what I did. I got there early and then just watched it fill. And fill, and fill, and fill. Extraordinary.
What's going through your minds in those moments? You're sitting there in the stadium. You're watching it fill up around you. What are you thinking?
I was just excited. So I can't tell you what I was thinking more than I'm sitting there waiting for my people to get through and define me. And then I was meeting other almanackers as they were coming in. I was, I was excited. And I was a bit in awe because I kept thinking, oh, I'm glad they shifted it because this definitely wouldn't have fitted in. And the more people came in, the more I got, phew, could you imagine locking those people out after 5,000? Because the first 5,000 at Princes Park didn't even make a dent. But it would have been ridiculous. No facilities, everything would have been sold out in 2 minutes, and as there were their other games. So as it filled up, I sat there and just... I actually stood there, sat there, watching people come and go, watching the Carlton cheer squad form, watching across the area where I could see the Collingwood cheer squad had put themselves. So I was watching all the dynamics of people, where they were putting themselves, and just being excited. Never imagining it would be as intense as it actually was as a first game. Never imagining it would get to that size. Never imagining... I knew there was going to be a lot of people, more than 5,000 people. But me and the AFL didn't think there were going to be over 25,000 people there.
Let's go back a little bit. Why did you want to be at that first game? You're a St Kilda supporter. Mm. You're not a Carlton or a Collingwood supporter. Why did you want to be there?
I don't know. It's you're too young to know the movie where they... well, there's two things. Build It and They Will Come, which is that Field of Dreams movie, but the other one about an aliens years ago, and people had a calling, and I can't remember, I'll remember it in a second, but it's something was pulling people to a certain event, and this one was to aliens and a space rendezvous. That's what it felt like. It felt like really visceral, and perhaps that was like for everybody as well, that I couldn't not be there more than I had to be there. I couldn't not. I had to see it. This, I didn't even realise I was this crazy about women's football until the intense feelings, like, we have to write about this. We have to make it a book. I have to physically be there. And then, as it turned out, most people that I knew that were a bit footy crazy were also heading there. Like, so it was... I don't get this about cricket or women's cricket. I don't get this about any other sport. Something about football, which I think is very intense anyway, but the first of something that was going to be truly significant, I felt I had to be there. And I wanted to be part of the party. I knew it was going to be a party. The two games I went to with the St Kilda Sharks, I think I fell in love not just with the girls, and even when they had the exhibition matches, I fell in love with the feeling it produced in me. There was something magic seeing women running around, kicking a ball and doing something that I'd watched blokes do, and I loved that, but seeing it, it's like falling in love again, very intensely. But being able to love an image of myself, of women, being able to imagine them, the stories of these young girls. And it didn't disappoint.
I think that's really really beautiful, being able to love an image of yourself. That's gorgeous. You spoke about calling the AFL and the issues around the ground. Do you have any other memories of the week leading up to that game? There was a lot of media attention, and obviously the ground was a big drama. Do you have any other memories of that week?
Well, I remember cutting out every article. I actually have four folders full of media, and everything was handed out. I became a Bulldogs member, a Foundation Bulldog member with my sister, because St Kilda didn't have a team. And you asked how I felt because it wasn't, my team wasn't in it. I became a Bulldogs member, but I found myself looking forward to seeing any Sharks who were playing. And I knew there were Sharks in Carlton, Breonna Davis. I knew there were Sharks in Collingwood at that stage. The marquee player, Mo Hope, was still a Shark. So I was very excited. And Brittany, of course, I'd already felt connected to Brittany. So just to see those girls. So I was busy collecting anything in the paper that week. I cut out, put it in. I bought Inside Football that had all the names and all the details. I made sure I got that from, I think on the day that I arrived, I made sure I got a number of programs to give to the other people with me. Because I was close early at the ground, I also got one of the, I can't remember what it was now, but you got something like a badge. Yeah, I got a badge and I got a few for the others. So my anticipation, and I kept inviting people. And in the end, there was six of us, but I was getting texts and texting people that had put their hand up in the almanac that they wanted to write for it. So where are you? Where are you sitting? Or we're here. Okay, so maybe we'll catch up with you at half time. Well, good luck with that. It wasn't possible, but... So all of it was around, are you going? Oh, yeah, I'm going. Where are you going to meet? What are you going to do? That sort of thing. So it helps that I don't have a day job, you know, that I my biggest thing was I was editing and pulling the last bits together of my book, that I had the free time to do all of this, but that's what I was doing. And I don't watch the football on TV much because they're really annoying, but there seemed to be suddenly programs where women's voices were around, so I was listening to some of that as well. So enjoying the fact that each of these mostly male dominated programs suddenly had women's voices and women talking about it, and Daisy Pierce was everywhere and Mo Hope was everywhere, and I enjoyed, I think we went to a, I don't know if it was before the first game, but we went to a breakfast that Susan Alberti had put on, so I was chatting to people, mostly around the women's football. And then there was the Australian Story, that beautiful Australian Story documentary, and that got everybody even more emotional because of the significance it was to the actual people much, much, much closer into it.
Let's go back to that night. You've caught the tram up Royal Parade. You're walking up towards Princes Park. What do you remember seeing as you're walking towards the ground that night?
People everywhere. Families, kids, older people, lots of girls in groupings. And I would imagine they'd be either a bunch of girlfriends or teammates or people that knew of them. So that sort of feeling of seeing lots of girls that I imagined were mates of somebody that was playing, that had come to see something special. And I guess the other thing is the mixture of people, old, young, very little children, medium children, teenagers, so that and all happy. And I don't know if it's because football nuts love their football in January or February or whenever it was, and they love it. You know, put a footy match on and it's free, you know, we're going to go to this, or it's people coming to experience something that's historic, and it was historic, and the media gave it attention, the AFL was giving it attention. How could you not look? So I think that was the feeling as everyone's coming, well, this is something special. This is the first of. And so that was the feeling as everyone's going there. So standing there chatting to people in the queue as we're waiting. Oh, why are you here? Oh, come to see. I want to see it. I'm a Carlton or I'm a Collingwood, or and other people just saying, oh, I just wanted to come and see. I follow such and such and I want to see it. So it wasn't just me. It, you know, those funny lights when you have mosquitoes and they go to the lights. It was like that. They put this thing on and people were drawn to it, and everybody probably had their own emotional connection. It was compelling. We were compelled to be there.
Do you remember where you were sitting in the ground?
Yeah, so I don't remember what the grandstands were called, but I was in front of a grandstand. So it's very hard. It's on the wing. I like being on the wing so that I'm right in the middle, and that's where we were. We were in the middle of the ground. On the Royal Park side, that's all I can tell you. I can't remember what the name of the actual stand was, but there were the seats in front, and I was at the back of those seats, and I'd put everything I possessed down to save all the seats, like I did as a kid. Just, you know, you save the seats for this one, and you put your coat, and you put your scarf, put your bag, so that all along I could save. And then it ended up there's only three people sat down, and we were all standing because we were just too excited to sit down. It was just too exciting. And the seats filled up.
You're sitting in the ground that night.
Mm.
People all around you. The game hasn't started yet. What's happening in those moments before the game starts? What do you remember?
Well, once everybody got there that I knew had to get there, that I, like I'm a mother hen, once all my little chicks were gathered, I relaxed a bit. And so then it was just watching them come out with the banners and thinking, geez, much smaller than the men's banners, you know, you're noting all the differences. I'll tell you one thing I did when I went down to the loo. I had a deja vu moment. I had a flashback to when I was 12, 13 years to come to all the old other grounds. I thought, oh, my God, it hasn't changed. This has not changed since I was 12 to 17 going to these matches, and they haven't done anything. They haven't changed a lid on the toilet. They haven't changed anything. It was so the feel of it, the smell of the chips and the things cooking, it was just bringing me back to old suburban ground days of VFL football. So that was one thing. The anticipation and waiting for things to happen, because that's what you are as a supporter. You're not in control of anything. You're just sitting there and anticipating and waiting to see what happens. And so that was a state of perpetual excitement.
How would you describe the atmosphere that night in the stadium?
Celebratory, noisy. Intense. When I mean, I can't remember things like when the first ball was bound. I mean, I remember it. If I have to sit back and remember that we all cheered. It was just intense. But you're not up to that stage yet. So anticipatory, excited. I'm going to say those words over and over again. And it was hot. It was a very warm night too. So it was also getting adjusted to being in the heat and watching the football. And that's why I sat in the shade, because I'm not great in the heat. So I wasn't going to sit anywhere where the sun was going to be on me for another hour or something. I chose a place where we could be comfortable. Did I get the question? Did I?
Mm. What about the crowd? You mentioned it briefly, but you've been to a lot of footy games. Would you describe it as a traditional footy crowd, or was there something different?
It felt more like a local VFL game, a local game in the sense that it didn't feel corporatised. It didn't feel like you had all the people there that were there for business. You had everybody there with the excitement of being a fan of football, a fan of the women themselves, a relation to the women, a part of a club of some kind that might not have been directly engaged. So that you felt that everybody had their own good reasons for being there. And everybody was excited. There was nobody there that was there for other than to watch these women play football and be part of it. I'm sure there was. I'm sure there were corporate people because there were all the sponsors that that the women's team now had. But it didn't feel like it was full of it. It didn't feel like it was for anybody else but the teams and the women and the kids. And the other thing that was on my mind too is that when I took my drafted grandson to his first footy match in 2015, when I was writing my book and I took him to his first match, he looked out there, first St Kilda match of the year in 2015, he said, "Where are the girls?" Because he was at Auskick and it's full of girls. So he's looking around and seeing all the boys, St Kilda boys, run around, and he goes, "Well, where's the girls?" Because for him, it would be a natural progression for them to grow up and all the boys and girls still play together. So I was very conscious that being there, that I wanted to take him to one of these matches so he could see the girls. And I did. The last match of the whole season that was in Casey, I got to take him to. And I wanted him to see the girls. But it was that sort of feeling that if he didn't live the other side of in Dingley, I would have dragged him across too, and it hadn't been at night. I would have dragged everyone I could have.
And then the players come out onto the ground. We have the national anthem. What are your memories of those early moments of the game?
I think I was crying. I think I had I'm going to cry now if I talk about it. Very overcome and feeling I was witnessing something special and knowing the girls were doing something special for them and feeling like for them this is unbelievable. And to have them lined up and, you know, I didn't care it was Collingwood and Carlton. I didn't care. They could have been naked. It didn't matter. It just felt like, oh my God, the game's about to start and it's happening. And it isn't this pissy little crowd and nobody's interested. Lots of people were here and lots of people were interested, and they were playing in front of a crowd. You know, when I went to St Kilda Sharks, who was there? There was two games I went to. There were family, there were boyfriends, husbands, girlfriends, partners, and random people that were probably going for a walk and just stopped and watched the footy. So there might have been 50, and here there were 25,000. So even at the exhibition matches, there weren't those numbers, because the exhibition matches were before the main doggy matches and Melbourne matches, and they'd have a splattering of people. So it never had that huge crowd paying attention. But they were getting attention now. So when that anthem went, I got tearful and we were cheering and I mean, you're quiet for the national anthem, but then, you know, the moment it's finished, everyone roars, and that's what happened. We sort of all roared and we're just all excited. And then when the first bounce, again, it felt very emotional. And then when Jess Gardner kicked the first goal, she's a St Kilda Shark. And I thought, yes, a Shark got the first goal. Yay. Doesn't matter, it's Collingwood. Shark. Well, that was it. They didn't get any more goals, but yeah, just got the first. So there were all of these sort of connectors watching Mo Hope, and you could see she wasn't having a great day, that they seemed to know how to play her. Brianna Davis was brilliant, and I'm seeing it. Davies was brilliant. I'm watching her and just going, oh my God, this girl is terrific. You know, she's just magnificent. And all the other people that were just new to me that I was beginning to look at the paper. Who were they? And look at the record, the footy record. So I was glad they had a footy record. I would have been really peeved had there not been a footy record so that I could begin to get to know who the people were.
Do you have any sort of real memories of the game, what's taking place out on the field?
Yeah, it was scrappy. You could tell they were nervous. It seemed to be really congested. And I was already sitting there cursing the only 16 in a side and not 18, because I felt like it... they didn't feel like if they got the ball out that there was enough people to run it to. And the... it wasn't the greatest game of football I'd ever watched, but it was... The effort was unbelievable. Those girls, you can hear the smacking of the bodies in any... You usually can't hear the smacking of the bodies in an AFL game because there's too much round noise. But this one you could hear the smacking of body against body, especially if they were near you, and how serious everybody was going for it. And I knew they were serious, they were. I remember Jess's goal. I don't remember any of the other goals, but I remember when Vissio got her first goal, Darcy Vissio, and everybody just thought, oh, my God, that was a brilliant goal. It was terrific. And then she did it again. And so suddenly, who is this person? She's terrific. And being very excited that there was superstars. It was a shark superstar to begin the game that would go down in history as being the first goal. Excuse me. And then Vissio turned out to be the other story of the evening, that suddenly she was there and she'd announce herself.
And so the game ends. Carlton win. What do you remember?
Convincingly,
yes. What do you remember of those moments after the game had gone, the final siren's gone?
Excuse me.
What do you remember?
It felt really short. I didn't like how short it was. I felt like I wanted more. I was happy Carlton won because... Everyone hates Collingwood, even if Sharks play for Collingwood. That's not true. I would have, I found that, like I said before, I was barracking for all of them, that no matter, it didn't matter I was a doggy supporter for the year, paid up. I just, every good thing that they did, I was cheering and I was clapping because I just thought it was great. Look, that was a really good piece of work. So when it stopped... Well, I knew I was going the next day to see the doggies, so I felt like, okay, that one's done. Now for the next one. So I was already excited and already thinking about, I'm glad I've recorded all of these anyway, so I can go back and flick through it and watch again the bits that I missed. So I did record it as well. And... I don't know, I think the intense experience doesn't go away. So you're full with it. And saying goodbye to everybody. I think I jumped on I don't think I went back to my sister's place. I think I jumped on a tram to sort of get myself home. I know that Lisa and Lisa's so funny. She went down and got into the room. So I went to see all the people she knew, and being... such a stalwart of women's football, their party kept going. But I sort of felt like I'm an observer, and the observers went home. I think the people who were participators kept celebrating because these were their mates, or these were the women who'd organised it had seen something happen. And I was buoyed. And when they said it was a lockout, everyone cheered. So that when Gillon McLaughlin made the announcement that he's really, really sorry, but they've had to lock the doors, and we knew that. I felt so vindicated. I felt like my two phone calls to them, yay, that, you know, not only did I get it, but it went over my expectation, but I knew it was going to be big. I didn't realise it was going to be that big, but I knew it was going to be big. And like I said, everybody I knew was going. Everyone was talking about it. Everybody was excited. And I can still feel it. I can still feel being at the ground, and it's a warm night, and it's Carlton Girls were so excited, and I was singing the song, and I really liked, and I think they started that night, the singing outside. They weren't singing in the rooms. They were singing on the ground, and I loved that. I just loved that you could see the excitement. And so that was after the game. That was pretty cool. And I floated home. I felt like it was as special as I'd hoped it'd be. As special as, you know, when I went to John Harms and said, we've got to record this. It was that. And then we got all of these pieces in. So we must have had 20 pieces on the site about that first game that people had gone, people had watched on TV, and the experience. So we had a huge selection of pieces, because it had had such an impact on fathers with their children, and older ladies and women who didn't like football, and such a cross section of people it had an enormous effect on. And then I got to relive it by reading all these pieces and then collecting those pieces and starting to document it into the Women's Footy Almanac 2017. So I kept living it, and I did that with every game. I watched every game. I didn't go to every game, but I did. I went to the Doggies game. So I went on that weekend, I think I went to 3 games. So I went to that one, and I went to the Doggies Fremantle. And then I went out to Melbourne, Brisbane, and Brisbane just crushed them. But also we all got poured on. So that one weekend I had the heat. I had a nice evening in Footscray and watching the Witten Oval, and that was also sold out. It wasn't a lockout, but it was pretty much full. And then the Melbourne one had a really good crowd until it rained down, and then there was only maybe a couple of thousand that stayed after being soaked. So all weekend, so I floated through the weekend of all the available Melbourne games and watched the rest on the TV. So I absorbed it all.
What do you remember seeing as you were leaving the ground that night? You were walking out after the first ever AFLW game. Do you have any memories of what was happening outside the ground?
No, just people being happy, people just walking. And, after you go to a normal game, you'll see, I often marvel at, except when it's a final and people are much more bitterly disappointed, that most people leave the game and, okay, you know, you lost, you won. And it had that sort of feel about it, that it didn't really matter if you're a Collingwood supporter. Wasn't it amazing just to be there? We were part of something special. Oh, my God, they locked people out and we got in. You know, we made it in. And that was because I'm obsessive and I was there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something stupid. But, you know, the people that actually got in could feel they'd been part of something incredibly meaningful, and can live to tell the tale. And there's not many times where you remember where you are when certain things happening, but the women actually being recognised, because that's the other thing. It wasn't the women hadn't been playing football. Women and men, like Rob Hess and the other Lass's book says, women have been playing for 100 years on and off, and trying to organise themselves so they could play. So women have wanted to play this, but this is the first time that it was seen, and I think it had an enormous psychological impact on both men and women to see women playing at an approved AFL level. And to anybody that, I think I'd rung Kevin Bartlett that week when they talked on the radio about what the skills are like. Sometime over that week I said, They've changed the rules. Like, there's every VFL team has 18. Now they've changed it to be 16, so they've changed that structure for the AFLW. They've changed the size of the ball, so, and they've had very little time to prepare. They're not used to playing with the people who they were. So it is going to be a bit messier and it's going to be a bit sloppier until they get used to it. And what I did see over the 8 weeks is how it improved. And the skills improved and the girls got more confidence and their kicking got better. But if you don't have the support system in place like the blokes do for most of the year, your skills, of course, are not going to be what they even are in the VFL side, because at least you know those girls and you've been practicing and playing and training with them for such a long period, so you know how they play. So that was the other feeling, that you got there and you saw the beginning of something. It wasn't the perfect game of football. It was one-sided. But we saw stars, we saw effort, and I think people just left feeling really happy to have been there and to have witnessed it and to have been part of history. And the lockout, I think, gave a kick in the butt to administration and said, this is popular, this is wanted, and good on you for bringing it on earlier, for Gillen, for getting in there and doing this earlier, because we got to experience something special and watch women be celebrated. There's never too much of that.
When you reflect on that first game now, what does it mean to you?
Susan Alberti says a lot, I just don't take no for an answer. And that's why they sort of hurried along. She kept harassing them. It felt like it was women who like their footy not taking no for an answer, getting out there and actually saying, yes, we want to do this. And then the people like me are saying, yeah, we want to see this. We want to support this. We want to be there. We want to see these girls and how they'll be. I'm interested to see how the girls have developed and changed and what their fitness will be like this year and their skills. And so I'm already excited for the next season. But the possibilities, it's like a flower blooming. You know, so we saw it begin to open, but now it's... There's a field of flowers. It's grown exponentially across. There's been a bigger spurt of growth of any sport in Australia. It's just huge. There's all these new teams. And now Susan Alberti's mission is to make sure the playing grounds and facilities are there for all the thousands of girls that saw that and want to play footy and flooded all the footy clubs, that they have the facilities that are decent. So it... I don't know any other analogy. It cracked the egg open. It blew our minds, because it's changed the way that the girls and women and boys and men think about women playing sports. So it changed everybody's way of thinking.
And what about for you personally, to be there that night to see that game? What did that mean to you?
Well, when I could stop blubbering, and I could watch it, it very quickly just became a game of footy. And once it became a game of footy, it wasn't about the girls in this historic match. It was a game of footy, so you engaged in the drama of a football game. So it became, and that's when I found myself barracking for anybody that did something good. So for me, it was the wonder of finding it then natural to be watching a game on the professional level, or semi-professional level, of women playing footy. So it became something I'm very proud of. I so confirmed my thought that we had to make a book of this, because it was as exciting as I thought it would be. Yeah, I think we all floated home. I mean, I certainly felt that first game and then the whole weekend and really the whole 8 weeks, I felt I was floating through a particular time that was different to me. So it's on a visceral level. I think it's affected, it's changed something in the way I think about myself as a woman and you know, the little girl in me that might have had a crack, mightn't have been so frightened of things, might have had a go. Had I been young again after seeing that.
So. That's a significant impact. Yeah. Why did you want to be a part of this documentary? Why did you get in touch with me?
Because I want to be able to remember. I wanted to talk about it again. I'd written about it. I get to talk about how special that night was, how special it was to share it with my friends, my sister, Lisa and Anne, and all the other people that then felt like connected, wider family, people that loved being there that night. And to record that, I think it's really important. I've always thought it was important to record, to tell stories, to tell people stories as well, like the Almanac. That's why I wanted the Women's Footy Almanac. That's why I told my story in my book. My mother wrote a book. My parents had stories, and I think it's the telling of the stories that are good for the next generation, because this will now be taken for granted to a certain degree, given, like you said, 100 years' time when someone opens this up and has a look at what happened 100 years ago when women started playing professional AFLW in Australia. And they won't believe we're all so excited because it'll be an everyday thing. And probably by then the girls will be professional. They'll behave badly and stupidly at times, just like the boys do. They'll have brilliant careers and they'll go crash and burn just like the boys do. And we won't think about it as being anything different. It was just a period of time where this is what it was to be a AFL player, whether you're an AFL-M or you're an AFL-W. And because they also brought in calling it the AFL-W, I now write everything in the almanac AFL-M. So until AFL just means everybody, and then we have two divisions, one men and one women, and they're both called men and women, if that's what we're going to have, then I'll call them the AFL men. So that's my cheeky little protest sign.
I'm doing the same protest. What are you looking forward to next year, AFLW season 2?
Well, like I said, to see how I'm looking forward to the next season. It's 1 year it's 2 years closer to... No, we're 1 year closer to when St Kilda get a team. Is that right? 2020. Okay, so it'll be a year closer. So I look forward to seeing more of the girls I've got to know from all of the clubs playing and how they're developing, and seeing the new people. I want to see if it's different. How different is it when there's been a whole year for girls to prepare and then go into drafts or go into fitness and all these development programs, and what's a different it's going to make. I'm interested to see if the same crowds will be there, if people will be equally as engaged, if the same sorts of people come out, or it'll be the diehard crazies like me that'll come out. But and I want to support the girls. I mean, that's I became a sponsor at St Kilda Sharks, a player sponsor, and I know they don't get the same advantages, and it's still fledgling compared to everything else. But I'm fascinating watching all the clubs scatter to try and get their women's clubs. And I was shattered when St Kilda didn't get in 2019, but I'm really glad we're getting in 2020, and I'm watching them having a VFL team. And even I'm sad that affects what's happening to various VFL ones that have been there up to now. It's a sign of development, and it will change. And it'll change the accessibility to the girls. It'll change everything, just like it does with professionalisation for men. But it's still done now. They've opened the door, and the girls have come flocking. And the supporters will come flocking. So I'm hoping it'll be at least equally watched on TV, if not equally well attended. But I hope people get back into that atmosphere of let's go to the footy. Let's jump on a couple of trams and get out there. And it's a nice night. Even in blizzards like it was in that Melbourne game that weekend. Get out there and support the girls.
Is there a favourite moment from that night?
From that night? Yeah, I think the bounce of the ball. Because you knew it was really on. And that's why I hope they don't take away the bounce, because I think there is something particularly about that first bounce, even if they do it once in a game, that says, here we go, and then everyone's up and excited. Favourite moments of the game. And Darcy Vissio. And seeing how brilliant young woman becoming a star overnight, just turning into everyone's going, oh my God, did you see what she did, and did you see how she did that, and look how, you know, that girls and boys can walk away from that and going, oh, wasn't she great, wasn't that a great mark, and that you're not even thinking in terms of gender, you're just thinking about terms of footballers, because that's all the girls are, they just want to be footballers, they just want to play the game they love. And since I'll tell you a funny story too. It's not related to the first night, but it kind of is. When we got the footy almanac out and the Age wanted a photo with the girls, I organised it with St Kilda Sharks, and we went down before a practice, and they were all wearing their St Kilda Shark red hoodies. And we went around to the side of the building with his graffiti. The photographer set up the lights. And I gave the girls a book, and originally I had one, and they were all poring over the book. So it was that level of excitement again. This time it was those girls, and they were only the AFL girls that came to that particular section from the St Kilda Sharks. I went and got more books so that every girl had a book in their hand, and the photo he used was all the girls were poring over the book. Because for them, they're reading about themselves, they're reading about something that was incredible for them, but people are writing about it, people are talking about it, people are remembering it. And so that's, now I know that's not about the first game, but it's about what it's done for those women and the excitement it's filled them up with and the possibilities it's opened up in their lives. That all started from the bounce, or from really when they ran out onto the ground and everyone roared and they had that first experience of everybody just being behind them. And so that was another great moment, just the roar of the crowds.
How did that feel, that first bounce?
Oh, no, like I said, I think I had tears in my eyes because it was... I think you have to be a girl to get it in a way that every girl could be those players out in the middle. Every girl can imagine. Everyone can dream. It's pretty important to feel like you can be free to dream and you can dream big. And that's what these girls... And I guess the other thing about footballers, as much as I think, oh my God, I can't imagine putting my body in that situation, that they're free to hurt themselves. To play the sport they want, they go in there and they win as tough as any guys I've ever seen play. And they just win in there. And there were a couple of hits over the 8 weeks that I sort of thought that was pretty dirty. That girls can be dirty too. You know, that they could be as rough and hard as they needed to be to win a game of footy. They often say things that, you know, that positive mindset type of philosophy, mindfulness, if you change the way you think about things, it can change behaviour, it can change attitude, it can change a whole lot structurally in life. That's what it felt like. It actually felt like the experience of being there and the experience for those girls playing and for everybody watching, even if they're at home on their TV, it changed something in their physiology and their mental capacity that can't be changed back. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. That genie's out there, and she's going, yeah, I can play. I want to get out there. I want to put the boots on. I want to, you know, I want to do Auskick, but like Susan Alberti, you don't have to be stopped. You can keep playing, and that changes you. And I think it changed everybody. And I can't always say it changed everyone. I think it changed for people who cared about this. It changed something in them.
Thank you so much for talking to me and for sharing your memories with me and with this project.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I can't tell you. Well, I have told you how exciting it is, but to be part of this project is exciting too.